Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, Grapple fans. Welcome along to episode 104 of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I am your host, Danny Wills, joined as ever by my on-air audio tag team partner. Two things all at once there. Mr. Guy Dringle, how you doing, Guy? Got myself confused.
All good. How are you, Andy?
I'm all right. It's because we're talking across the time zones. That's what's throwing me. So today's show's all about the Super Showdown in Melbourne in Australia. WWE is going down under, and hell, we can better them. We're going down under ourselves because Flaming Galah is Alex Barilaro.
You had to do the accent, didn't you? We're writing it off here. That wasn't bad. I'll give you credit. That wasn't bad. I have a feeling you're going to hear a lot of dodgy Australian accents over the next week of Australia being the focal centre of all the WWE programming. So I'm delighted to be on. I'm delighted to be going this weekend, this Saturday night, to the MCG. That cauldron of history in the making, and it's going to be the most historical of all events when WWE invades with Super Showdown. I mean, the name could have been better, but at the same time, I'm getting to see Undertaker and Triple H live and seeing an actual WWE event that actually matters for the first time in my life. It's going to be quite cool.
Yeah, the name's as lame as the Aussie, oi, 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 champion.
Oh, yeah, if that breaks out, that's going to be cringe 101. Aussies are very creative with their chants, though. We get it from you blokes, I think. We get it from the English. So I expect to a takeover, which I was unlucky not to go to. When the NXT show kind of came down here, one of my mates went, and apparently the chants were extremely creative and extremely fun. So the atmosphere is going to be mad. The MCG is going to be buzzing, and anywhere near 100,000 people, if what I expect, there'll be probably somewhere between 90 and 100,000 people. It's going to be packed.
Yeah, and furthermore, you're going to be there yourself.
I am, yes. I've bought my expensive tickets, and yeah, me and my best mate are going. We've been watching wrestling since we were in high school, even further back, since like kind of middle school. This is kind of our crowning achievement, our crown jewel, to quote the pay-per-view happening in Saudi Arabia. Which, I mean, I like to think that we're being prioritized over Saudi Arabia because we don't violate human rights in quite as many ways. We did sell neighbours and home and away to the UK. That's one human rights violation, which I'll cop. But I think the Saudis have got...
We got Kylie with one of them, though, didn't we? So that'll do.
That's true, yeah. So that turned it around, yeah.
And Jason Donovan singing as well. There's another one.
Who? Exactly. Jason Donovan. Jason Donovan's not a name that rings my bell.
I think he's more famous over here than over there.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It was maybe before your time, and yeah, when you said doesn't ring up, well, we could go down avenues that we shouldn't go down. So let's bring things
before
back.
We get on Steve Irwin. Let's get out of here.
guys, Steve Irwin impression probably not worth going to wear.
No, before we go any further, Guy, come on, give everyone your Steve Irwin impression.
Christ. Here we go.
You little ripper.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's just funny.
Not good under pressure.
Now, Under Pressure is a different podcast, so we're the rest of
us. Yeah. Well, I don't have any stats for you on the amount of sprints that Seth Rollins attempted on Monday Night Raw, unfortunately. I imagine it'd be a lot.
Or how many promos Bobby Lashley botched.
Yeah, that's fair. Is he the worst talker in the E right now? I mean, it happens that he's got one of the best talkers in the E as his sideman, or his hype man. So maybe, but I think he probably is the worst talker in the year right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anyone who is worse, actually, but it's quite a task, really.
I can't think of it.
The Cruiserweight division must have some shit talkers.
Unless you want to punish people for not being able to speak English completely, but that's unfair.
To be fair, Nakamura's broken English is still better.
Yeah, absolutely is. Nakamura is a much better promo. Kalisto and his good lucha things is probably not swell. But again, that was not his crowning moment. But I'm known to be an optimist when it comes to wrestling, and I'm sorry that I've started this long. Bobby Lashley and the worst talkers in the biz. I can tell you who's the best talker and who I'm very curious to see live for the first time, but also curious to see what his what the ramifications are at the pay-per-view, and that's Dean Ambrose, my favorite wrestler, and he's probably the best. In fact, he is without a doubt the best talker in WWE.
Kevin Owens says hello.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I tell you what, let's. I mean, it's a nice little segue. Let's hit off with that one then. Bobby Lashley and John Cena teaming up versus Elias and Kevin Owens. I say versus. What I should say is Bobby Lashley and John Cena squashing Elias and Kevin Owens. How do you expect this one to go, Alex?
You know what? I think it'll be a massively competitive match. I think Cena's going to have to come back from the floor. It's going to go at least 35 minutes. Dave will give it five. No, it's not going to go like that. At the same time, last 2 weeks on Raw, Elias and Kevin Owens have been some of the best parts, and they're just brilliant. So I am still looking forward to this match in a kind of fun, yay, I get to see John Cena, even though he hasn't shown up on Raw for the entire build to this match. Yay, I get to kind of see KO and Elias be funny. Hopefully Bobby will slap Leo Rush around a bit, affably and jokily. And that'll do it for me. But it's not exactly going to be on the bill for the most brilliant match on the card. I'll give you that.
No. And Guy, you are known for your love of Elias. Are you expecting anything more than the squash?
The only good thing is you can see KO and Elias beating the crap out of Bobby for probably the best part of 15 minutes, and then we'll see Super Cena do his thing, because, well, that's probably the reason they brought him back, is to get the win. I can't see anything else other than John Cena getting a victory for his team. It is a shame that the two young talents are getting, well, not buried, because it's a one-off event, isn't it? But just putting over for a big moment to... I'm not sure how old Bobby Lashley is, but Cena's obviously towards the end of his career and kind of going in Undertaker mode. It's a kind of a shame, but at least they're on the pay-per-view, I suppose, because I don't think Elias has been on one in a while in a wrestling situation. He's obviously been interrupted every pay-per-view with his guitar, and Kevin Owens, well, every podcast we talk about how he's been used, and it's always been crap.
Especially the last couple of weeks, they could have done something really good with that I quit angle. The fact that he had logistical reasoning for going after Bobby because he injured Sammy. So that if he said I quit and attacked Bobby and then said, oh, I haven't been hired back, I just wanted to beat the absolute living hell out of you, and then they could have had some altercations with Stephanie and Kevin Owens could just be like this broken, frustrated guy who hasn't had anything go right for him. Braun's bullied him and he's just been flattened, and it's all because Sami Zayn got injured in kayfabe because of Bobby Lashley. That would have been excellent storytelling, but I just get the sense that if it's not involving kind of the upper card, Raw is not kind of like cooperating with the stories for the bottom card or the mid card, and they're not really offering that much for anyone other than kind of the Shield or Braun or Dolph or Drew, and then obviously Taker and HHH. Hunter Hurst.
What do you think of the potential of KO and Elias? And do you think there's a tag team in there, or do you think it's just a one off? Because they're both getting misused quite badly, and when we've seen that in the past, the tag team seems to be the natural fit. I mean, Sheamus and Cesaro comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, it could work. Judging by the phenomenal segment on Raw this week with Elias and KO getting the most heat from anyone I've seen since Tommaso Ciampa, that was quite brilliant and quite incredible. I think that had more to do with Elias, but KO trying to talk over the 10 minutes of booze from the Seattle crowd was quite good. But I just get the sense that I think KO, they're literally just biding time while Sammy's out, because they want Sammy and KO to come back together. And as soon as Sammy's back, KO will kind of have that upturn again. And that's the story they're trying to tell. It's a lazy story. There's no point in debating that. But I think that is the story they're trying to tell. Mm. And that's the story they were trying to tell before Sammy's injury was, well, me and him have been ousted by Shane McMahon out of SmackDown, despite the fact that we had legitimate gripes. And now it's our time to show that we're worthy of that. But it only works if they're together. So in that case, Sammy's injury was very poorly timed and very unfortunate for both of them.
Mm. There's that thing with Kevin Owens as well, is that you remember back to when Triple H handed him the Universal title.
Got an answer why.
Yeah,
that happened.
To say that moment, there was never ever explained. There was a tease, wasn't there, that KO and Samoa Joe could be part of a faction with Triple H, but we never got anything else. It was an idea that night, and then after that, they just binned it, and we forgot that it ever existed.
That would have been one of the better stables ever.
it would have been excellent. Even to have KO say, I was appointed by Triple H because he didn't trust Seth. And that should have been more. I think a lot of stuff with KO and Sammy should have been more. But at the same time, he's so good and he's so brilliant that there's so much they can do with him still. You know, that if they decide to do something with Elias, I still think one of the best things they could do is turn KO proper babyface, because they've got the perfect ammunition accidentally. Braun buried him to hell. He took all these bumps. Braun's now a heel. He's sympathetic to a lot of the smarter wrestling fans. I don't think they capitalize on that enough. I think they try and turn the smart wrestling, or the smarks, if you want to say that. No, the wrestling fans who are kind of, who know what's up, they try and turn their attraction and kind of love for the heels into kind of catchphrases, which works. The Walk with Elias thing, Kevin Owens show thing, the Miz TV thing. Just to name a few, and even Braun lately has kind of been neutral because he still does the big Braun taunt and the entire arena goes with him. But if they channeled that to turn heels into faces, and similarly channeled that to turn faces into heels, I think Bobby Roode, Bobby Lashley, who we just said, I think definitely needs to be heel. Leo Rush could milk that if he was, the hype man. And learn from the fact they never did it with Cena. And I don't think they need to do it with Reigns, because I think that will, it's got as big a chance of going badly as it does going extremely well. So I like to see Reigns in that neutral role, in that I don't care role, as long as he's not too much one way or the other. But they really need to capitalize on kind of that smart fan base who knows what's up, cheering the catchphrases. They did it with Rusev Day, kind of. They've done it before. NXT's masterful at it, but I think NXT kind of hinders the product on the main roster when these badass dudes come up, and like Almas comes up and puts on incredible wrestling matches and people can't help but love him. So it's just that you've got to figure out which ones to channel. But at the same time, and one of the matches that we're seeing here goes to prove that, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, Charlotte versus Becky is a phenomenal matchup that is based on very little traditional wrestling kind of mantra. Charlotte is the face and has not technically done anything abhorrent, and yet people boo her, not because of what she does, but because of the person she's facing, because of the story that's being told almost inadvertently, but I think they've cottoned onto it in the last month and a half.
Let's talk about it now, because it's, for me, it has the feel of the mid to late 90s wrestling, where fans had got tired of your archetypal babyface and heels, and were starting to cheer certain heels. And certainly, obviously, everybody famously got behind Stone Cold Steve Austin and started to turn, so to speak, on the likes of Hulk Hogan. They turned him because, the WCW crowd were booing him because they weren't interested in that 80s babyface character anymore. So it has a bit of that feel to me.
Absolutely. And it's the way I typify it is Austin Hart. It's like that Austin Hart idea where Austin is being objectively a terrible human and is being selfish and kind of going to the beat of his own drum. And in Becky's case, and in Austin's case, they both legitimately justified in everything they did, which meant that people could cheer them. But it didn't mean you had to suddenly turn. I mean, they did a dramatic double turn with Bret Hart in
97. I spoke about myself.
Yeah.
I need to watch that match.
It's referenced to. You really do. Oh, it's amazing. And the blood spot, the chair, it is a phenomenal piece. But I don't think we appreciate how good wrestling can be today. And I think Charlotte Becky is one of the better kind of, even though it's reflective of that, like you were saying, Andy, that mid-90s, mid to late 90s, it's got all the hallmarks to be a brilliant feud. And they can crack out some great matches. But most importantly, that Becky heel turn and everything that's come out of it's been exceptional. I can't wait to watch the match. I know I'm going to be rooting for Becky. I know I'm firmly going to be going, yeah, Becky Lynch is a badass. But that's more to do with the fact that I've always liked Becky. If you've always liked Charlotte, you can go for Charlotte. It's not so cut and dry. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because, Guy, we have spoke about this on and off, haven't we, for weeks. You know, it does have that feel about it, and obviously I'll say again, I think that double turn can be performed. I think we can see history repeat itself, and I think these two are capable of being able to do it. It's just hopefully having someone within, you know, the agents or whoever it is, in terms of actually putting the match together and the storyline to ensure that they're actually able to go out there and perform it and pull it off and make it as clever as we saw at WrestleMania 13.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I mentioned last week the only double turn I've seen is the Del Rio Ziggler one, and that was done so well. And that's the reference point I've got rather than the Austin one. I think this is probably the first women's feud in a while that's getting a decent story and a good time. I mean, even Asuka versus Charlotte at WrestleMania, I mean, it was hard to build the feud because Asuka was on Raw and Charlotte was on SmackDown, if I remember correctly. It struggled, and there's not many feuds that have had this interest in storytelling from a women's point of view in a goddamn while. I mean, Was Sasha v Charlotte probably the last one that had this interest? I know we've had like Alexa Bliss versus what's her name? The big lass.
Nia Jax.
Jesus Christ, yeah. that had a decent story point of view, but it didn't have the interest of these two characters because Nia wasn't that over, and Alexa Bliss is definitely a heel and probably won't work.
Nia's not very good either.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Doesn't help. But you've got two of the elite in this in the women's division, and you've got an elite story behind it, and we haven't seen this probably since NXT with Bayley versus Sasha. Let's be honest, because even Sasha versus Charlotte on Raw was not that great from a storytelling point of view, so it's probably the first time since the famed Iron Woman match that I've had such an interest in a woman's feud.
Yeah, I think certainly, like with Nia Jax, I think this is where social media probably doesn't help, because by when you look at her and her style and everything, she should be a monster. But people are aware, you know, obviously she doesn't quite talk like a monster, and people are very aware with social media that she's actually a really nice person and she's very popular. So
yeah, she is.
They can't really take her serious as a monster. So maybe this is, you know, it's a different, yeah, it's slightly different ground nowadays as well, isn't it? As to, you know, some of the classics when we hark back at, well, certainly for me at my age, you know, hark back to, you know, some of the brilliant stuff we saw in the 90s and even the early 2000s and how things would be portrayed. It is that the whole social media aspect does tend to affect things, because I think WWE are so conscious of it and I try to use it all the time that I think it kind of gets mixed up sometimes between whether it's kayfabe or it's, or they're actually breaking character. So it's, but in terms of Becky Lynch, Charlotte, it's, thankfully we haven't, you know, we haven't had that trashed all over us on social media, because it just kind of, it throws it, you know, it's either they're trying to trash talk each other on social media, or, you know, on TV we're seeing one thing, but on social media we're seeing something different. Thankfully this is more centric, being more concentrated on what we see on screen.
Yeah, I think it's also, that point you make about the social media thing is also reflective of Becky's character switch, because on social media, it was when they first turned a heel, it was very much I think WWE didn't realize quite the fire brand they actually started, because they thought, you know, it's just a classic heel turn. People will want Charlotte to win equally, but I think they didn't expect Becky to have that much support. And then Becky decided to start coming out with this stuff that just popped everyone of the legitimate gripes of, like, well, you stole my moment, you're obnoxious, you keep saying this stuff, I'm going to speak my mind on social media. Then that reflected on TV. One of my favorite segments in the last few weeks was Becky shoving Charlotte into the backstage, the whatever they were, boxes, in mid photo shoot, and then standing over her and telling the photographer, okay, shoot this. This is what you want. I'm the champ.
The champ, yeah. She keeps calling herself the champ. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the champ. You want photos of the champ? Go on, take it. And I think that's perfect, because it's more than, it's reflecting what we already know, which is this is a special feud. It's treating it like a personal feud, and the more personal it gets, the more invested we get in every single little thing, and the more invested we get in every tweet. Becky tweeted something this morning that was basically she was left out of the poster for Super Showdown, and she said, and people wonder why I'm so angry and so bitter about not getting chances. And that's perfect. That's perfect character building. What are you? Because it's legit. It's exactly right. And people like when a story is being told that is believable.
Yeah, that's it. That feels legit. Yeah.
And that's why another one of my favorite feuds is AJ versus Joe. Because even though I know they're the best friends, on character, or on screen, these characters hate each other. These characters have a history. And of course Joe will resort to going after AJ's family, because one, he knows them, two, he's desperate, and three, he's being portrayed as a sadistic kind of psychopath, and that's what sadistic psychopaths do. They go after focal points, and AJ is the family man baby face that people can relate to. So for Becky, sure, whatever she is, she's the champ. She doesn't need to be heel, she doesn't need to be face, she just needs to be fire and be brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to it. It should be a really good match. There's so much in there, like you say, it's getting more and more personal. It has something for you to be invested in. Probably difficult to say the same about Asuka and Naomi taking on the Iconics. Now, obviously, Alex,
don't talk bad about my Iconics.
Iconic as they were known. I don't know why they had to put the S in there, but anyway. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce obviously are going to get a really good reception, you know, with the crowd. But it's just, I don't know, I guess maybe it's that whole SmackDown thing. It just feels a shame that, you know, what else have we got to offer? Let's throw this together. Asuka and Naomi. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested in Naomi whatsoever. But Asuka has been so badly used since WrestleMania and just kind of thrown together in this match. And I guess, obviously, because of where they're from. They want to get Iconics, which is fair enough, and they want to get Buddy Murphy on the card as well, which we'll see. It, you know, makes sense, obviously, to get the crowd behind it. They're more interested in there, but other than that, you know, that the homegirl thing, is there any interest in the actual match, what goes on in the ring?
None whatsoever. Now, I'm interested in the entrance, and I'm hoping that Peyton can hit her spinning heel kick and cover for the win, and that it's relatively clean. I'm not interested in Asuka. I watch a lot of NXT, and NXT is my favorite wrestling product. And in NXT, as I watched Asuka kind of ascend to the ultimate status of ultimate champion, I didn't see her put on a match, even in NXT, that made me go, you know what, she's a star, she's got something. I think they need to inject her with some sort of character, because the whole no one's ready for Asuka thing dissipates very quickly when you realize that she's not. If this was like 3 or 4 years ago and it was Paige and Emma and a young Charlotte, young Sasha, young Bayley all coming through, and Asuka was on the main roster, then you're ready. Then you have Asuka is just this unstoppable force. And even though she lost, it was luck and you have to bring her back. Now, she's not. She can be painted as the unstoppable force, but she's just not. She's Ember Moon is a phenomenal wrestler. Like, Shard's a phenomenal wrestler. Alexa is a phenomenal talker. Ronda Rousey is Ronda Rousey, and she's fairly having the rocket strapped to her. She still needs work. She probably needs a manager, but she's Ronda Rousey. And then on the SmackDown side of things, you've got Charlotte. You've got even Sasha and Bayley have been out of it. They should both be better than they are now. The women's roster is too stacked. And that's not even mentioning the champ, Becky. It's too stacked for Asuka to do what she needs to do, because having Asuka on top of that card, it just doesn't make sense. So they need to find a rescue for her. It's not Naomi. It's not the Iconics. And I do think, as much as I love the Iconics and they make me laugh, and they were brilliant in NXT, and I think they're excellent. They had an excellent debut, and they've kind of floundered. They're not the Australian that I'm excited to see most of all. There is an Australian who has been one of my favorite wrestlers this year, who has put on some of the best matches this year. Mo Chatra cited this a long time ago, and not a month and a half ago, in the kind of the PW Pro Wrestling chat, which was Buddy Murphy had a tag match alongside Tony Nese, I believe it was, against the Lucha duo. I can't remember which of the two they were. I think Kalisto was on the side, so it must have been Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. And Buddy Murphy showed that basically this was just after Super Showdown was announced, and there was rumors that Cedric Alexander was going to defend his title. But Buddy Murphy showed to me that he could be as good a wrestler as anyone on that main roster if he had the right kind of character and the right push. As it happens, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay aren't that level in the women's division. Asuka might be. Naomi just isn't. So for me, the whole Iconics versus Asuka and Naomi thing pales in comparison to the Cruiserweight title match, for good reason, because if Buddy wins that title, the entire MCG is going to erupt with just manic excitement.
Yeah. Guy, have you seen any of Buddy Murphy since he came out of NXT? Because there was a match, I'm trying to think back where it was. It might have even been something they just kind of showed on the network with these guys he got together. And you were like, wow, we didn't really get to see this Buddy Murphy when he was in NXT in the tag team.
Mm. I watched it when the first rebrand, or pretty much post Enzo. I think that's when they tried to fix it. I watched a few episodes then, and I think I watched his debut when he first came up and stuff like that. And then there was that, if I remember correctly, there was that weight cut storyline that went. That's kind of when I stopped watching.
Yes. Yes. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just kind of a bit weird. So I've watched a couple matches, and I should really go back and watch that tag team match, especially because Mo recommended it. I might do that later on, actually. But no, the bits I've seen, even in his time in his tag team with Buddy, was it Murphy and Buddy or whatever the hell it was called?
Murphy and Buddy.
Yeah, Murphy and Buddy.
What's his name?
I can't remember the other one.
You made me forget. He's
Murphy and Buddy.
Sounds like a soft drink company that's trying to compete with Coke.
It sounds like a sequel to Turner and Hooch.
Murphy is Murphy Wesley and Blake. Buddy.
Wesley Blake is his buddy.
Blake and Murphy, that's the one.
Yeah.
They had some good matches. They had some tag team matches, yeah.
He was clearly the more talented one, wasn't it? And it's
absolutely, yeah.
It's a bit like Eminem back in the day when you saw John Morrison. He was like, yeah, he's the future star in that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, I think it's a similar dynamic to that. So I hope he does win. I'm not sure. It's not Cedric Alexander's fault, but obviously we haven't seen the cruiserweight division, fortunately, on the main card in so long because it was just in pre-show hell. But maybe, but if I see Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander have a 5-star match, it might get me back watching 205 Live. But I'll try and watch some more before the Saturday.
I reckon we are going to see a title switch. By the way,
oh, I hope so. That'd be amazing if it happens. It'd be absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it.
It'd be a British Bulldog moment. Not quite that big, but it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, I do think we'll see it. Just for that alone, as much as anything, that will get such a pop that you'll feel it on screen and people think, ooh, I'll have to go and watch 205 to see what happens next. You know, who's,
I hope so.
You know, what's this? For the casual fans that maybe not interested in it so much, because they'll know, what the views are like in terms of 205 on the network.
And there's the rumours of that NXT merge, isn't there?
Which I think would help, because the fact they're doing stadiums post like SmackDown doesn't help. If this was in full sale, and Triple H is running it, so an NXT merger would work. If they were doing 205 in full sale and giving it its own like branding and maybe sprucing it up a bit with the purple, it would be phenomenal. It'd be get so many more hits on the network because it'd be more individual.
Yeah, something, and that's something we've said for a long, long time.
And if the matches were on TakeOver as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want a Buddy Murphy catalogue, he had a brilliant no DQ match with Mustafa Ali. Go check that out. That involved stairs being propped up horizontally and basically a Spanish fly from the top rope. Off the top of kind of a set up stairs, and it was superplex actually, and it was phenomenal. And then his first kind of big match against Cedric Alexander, which I think Dave Meltzer rated that very highly. So if you want the kind of the affirmation from someone who isn't a huge Buddy Murphy fan, there you go. He fought Cedric Alexander for the championship and lost obviously, but yeah, it was a tremendous match. Mm-hmm. He's just very hard hitting, very like kind of modern wrestler, able to pull out all these moves. And I like Cedric a lot, but to see Buddy holding that title in the MCG, that'd be unbelievable.
Guy, what about New Day taking on Cesaro, Sheamus, The Bar? Could we see a title change here? Just kind of reignite The Bar, do you think?
I can see The Bar winning, because if the New Day win, I don't see where else they can go. Because Sanity have disappeared, and then other than that, I can't think of anyone else on SmackDown who they could fight. Because I've already forgot the Bludgeon. The Bludgeon Brothers Rowan's injured, isn't he? So they can't redo that.
Yeah,
he's out for a while too, isn't he?
Yeah. So unless they repackage Luke Harper with someone, but I doubt that. Unless Bray may go to SmackDown or something like that. But anyway,
Gallows and Anderson.
I forgot about them, but they're so lost, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think that's because they haven't had a spot in forever. They kind of had a little push, and then the Bludgeon Brothers happened. And they're like, well, we can't really have you beat the Bludgeon Brothers when the New Day are here, and then Sheamus and Cesaro came back, and. Yeah, I'd like to see Good Brothers get another push.
I wouldn't mind see if somehow they did a triple threat tag team match with M3, because I'm not sure. I like the Good Brothers, and I just don't think they've been booked well enough to have a strong singles, like a tag team feud singly. So if they have another team there as a dynamic, I think it could add in. Because I don't think the way they've been booked, it's not strong enough to have a feud, especially with New Day, because they're just full of cliches and stuff. And I think we need clarity with the Good Brothers, because they've been booked as faces, they've been booked as heels. I think you need a set dynamic, don't you? And I think if they're like the free roll in a triple threat feud, they could do whatever they want, really. So I'd quite like to see that. But I think I'd quite like the Bart to win, because they've probably been my favourite tag team for the last three years, however long they've been together. So I'd quite like to see them win. And I think we bring this up every podcast, don't we, Andy? But the New Day just... there's just new levels of annoyance with me.
It's the old day now. Yeah. It's the old day. Alex, are you looking forward to having pancakes thrown at you?
I remember you saying you were right. I remember you saying it and thinking you were right there, Andy, because I remember hearing the New Day come out with their usual pet. This was just before they won the tag titles, before they lost to the Bludgeon Brothers when Eric Rowan was injured. And you said something along the lines of just like, they're sticking to the same formula and they're not innovating anything they do anymore. And I just, that was the moment of kind of enlightenment where I went, he's right here. They're just boring now. Big E needs a singles push, a long, long overdue singles push. And the other two probably can still do their shtick as his managers. And the New Day and their pancake stuff, it's just not entertaining anymore. It's just terrible. And the thing is, they won't survive because there are some excellent tag teams still to come up. Once Undisputed Era come up from NXT, no one's really going to care about the New Day shtick anymore. They're going to, and once Sanity should come back. I don't know where they've gone. They just have this disappearing act. They did it when they first debuted, and now they're doing it again. But yeah, once, if Undisputed Era comes to SmackDown, the New Day feasibly shouldn't survive because you've got tag teams there who are better than them on the mic now and also in the ring.
Yeah,
do you think it's just a money thing? Because obviously they'll sell merch.
It probably is the merch and the fact that they've been there forever and they're kind of the trusted team. And I think the Usos have had fitness problems and Jay or Jimmy was trying to get his body right. Obviously, the Bludgeon Brothers had a rocket strapped to them, and now Rowan's done his elbow. That didn't help. But you've just got to think that, these days you can't be lagging and you can't keep doing the same old shtick unless you're Roman, but that's a different ball entirely. And again, I love Roman. I love him to death. But there's always a but. But the fact that there are so many teams coming up through NXT, and these are all teams that will have momentum when they come up, means that you can't lag behind. And that's exactly what New Day are doing. And the same with the B team as well.
Oh, don't mention the B team on this show. you might just get thrown out of this podcast.
Okay, the podcast is getting early. Andy's going to go on and fill the rest of the podcast with just a rant.
Yeah, it's... I think before Big E has a singles push, I think they need to get hot again. And right now, I know they've got the title belts and they still get a reaction, but they don't feel hot like they did a couple of years ago, where they had to turn the babyface because it was happening organically. And I just think at the moment they need the fresh coat of paint. So a heel turn at least would freshen them up a little bit. They could do some different, allow them to go back, to do some different stuff again, and then probably build up a bit of fire around them. And then you could maybe see that, then you could have like a split in there, maybe, or maybe even just a split is a way of doing it. But I think getting them hot again before having a split would make more sense to me. But there's still lots of potential, but there's still work to be done with them, I think, before taking them on to other avenues. You mentioned Roman Reigns. Let's do that one then. The Shield taking on Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. Some incredible work over the past few months from Seth Rollins with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Mixing this all together, we've also had a little bit of this whole storyline thing going on, haven't we? The teasing of you know, dissension in both camps. So do you see any kind of storyline progression in this, Alex, or is it, you know, do you think this is just purely we're going just to try and get a bit of intrigue going for this one match and then we go back to what we were doing before it?
I think we kind of have to see some storyline progression purely because the next event, well, Discounted Evolution, is the Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, and that is going to be heavily centered on Roman versus Braun versus Brock. And you can't possibly have that triple threat with the backdrop of Roman having his Shield brothers help him and then at the same time Drew and Dolph kind of helping Braun in the same way, just trying to get revenge on the Shield. Quick note, Shield is what got me kind of back into wrestling fully after the lagged period of between 2009-2011. I kind of dropped out. I didn't lose interest completely. I was still watching it most weeks, but I really just didn't have the intent. The Shield are, for me, the best faction. Because I'm young, so I grew up, the earliest kind of faction I grew up with an Evolution. So for me, the Shield are one of the best things in kind of WWE history that I've seen in my time. And seeing the Shield live will be utterly brilliant. And I can't wait. And Dean Ambrose turning heel would be intriguing. I kind of hope it doesn't happen. I kind of hope that they extend that story out a little bit further, because the Shield kind of just got back together. I think they slow burn the hell out of this one. What I think they should do is turn Drew. I think having Braun maybe tell Drew he's the weak link or something during the match in the same way that he did to Ziggler. Turn Drew on Dolph now, and then that way you can have something fresh for the Intercontinental. Get Seth a different opponent, and then at the same time you can have kind of this split where Dolph and Drew are tag champs, and if Drew turns on him on Dolph and says, "No, that's it, I'm the tag champion by myself," and they just basically split up, then that would be fun. I don't think they will do that. I think they're going to opt for the more traditional. It'll be a tag team title match. When Drew turns, it'll cost them the titles. Blah blah blah, whatever. But that's boring. I'd like to see something innovative happen. But most likely is probably Shield six-man tag. Did a bit of, like you said, dissension in the ranks. Braun gets mad at Drew and Dolph storms off, and the Shield kind of win with big triple powerbomb, and I'll be marking out for it because, like I said, the Shield are my boys and I love them to death. But it's probably more to build Braun up for Crown Jewel than anything else. I think Dolph and Drew can survive the hit if they stay together. I just really hope we get a proper six-man tag that the Shield kind of innovated. Fun spots, awesome match, intense action. The show looks like it's going to be 5 hours long, so if it's the card's kind of this small, then I'd like to see this match get a good 30 minutes and just have them go all out, because it's been too long since we've had the Shield properly do a six-man tag that was just so entertaining.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And what about you, Guy? What are you expecting from this one?
Yeah, I'm expecting this to be probably match of the night, and I'll probably get into it later. But when the Shield are in six-man tag team matches, I mean, we've seen in the past, whether it was the Wyatt family or the much-famed Devolution feud, it's always stole the show. And to steal that off Dolph Ziggler, I think this is the one. I'm not sure I'd split Drew and Ziggler myself. I think they're working really well. Maybe there's a natural thing there with AOP, because I'm like halfway through Raw now myself, and I've just saw Baron Corbin congratulating AOP, so maybe there's a natural thing there, and maybe there's a natural split there. And I've said on the last few podcasts, Drew McIntyre is probably the biggest winner out of all of these Shield things for me, because he's just looking like main event caliber talent for me, and I'd like to see where he. What he could do with a rocket strapped on his back, because I know he was the chosen one, whatever it was, 10 years ago. But goddamn, he's a freak at the minute, and I'd like to see what he'd do on his own.
Strike while the iron's hot as well, don't you?
That's the
name of the game.
Absolutely, and I think you don't need to split him and Ziggler for an intercontinental feud. But for me, I think the limit's higher than that. After Crown Jewel, if Roman's won, beat Braun and Brock again, Drew McIntyre could be the natural one to be after.
That'd
that
be
for me.
Fun. That is lots of fun.
Absolutely.
Those matches would be excellent as well, because we've seen Roman have brilliant matches with Braun before. Mm. I'd like to think that Drew is a better wrestler and better natural fit. Even Roman Joe, that kind of style of match was awesome and brilliant fun. So I think Drew versus Roman is logical for the next kind of big feud. But I still think that for that to happen, Drew has to separate from Dolph, which would be a shame, because this has been Dolph's best kind of section of his last couple of years.
Would you drop the tag titles to AOP, Crown Jewel or Survivor Series, whatever's next? Would you drop them to AOP?
I think I would. I think they're natural. I mean, if it was me, I'd drop them to the Revival and just say, look, we've done you bad. I know it's not going to happen, but look, we've done you bad. Here you go. Take it and run.
Apologies. Here's the titles.
Sorry. Here are the titles. Sorry for the whole B team thing. That was a mistake. Even though I kind of love Bo Dallas.
If you lose to AOP, that's natural. Like, AOP would be favourites in that match. Whereas if they lose to Revival or, God damn it, the B team. Yeah. There's a story there where you can say you screwed up, and then the infighting can start. Whereas if it's AOP, you're just like, yeah, we were going to get smashed.
Yeah. And then you think Revival and AOP were involved in some cracking matches in NXT as well.
Classics. Yeah. Absolute barnstormers. The potential of that happening again would be great. And to be fair, the Revival had an excellent match with Drew and Dolph last week on Raw for the titles.
Absolutely.
Drew and Dolph obviously won. One clean and but Revival will work in babyface. So if they want because they don't have a babyface tag team. Matt Hardy's had to retire. Bray Wyatt's in Neverland getting his hip, kind of reconnected to his spine, reconnected to his bones. It's grouse. And then
the Usos could be a good one.
They have put on some absolute crackers as well, so the potential of those matches would be excellent. But I don't see who, if you give a title to AOP, I don't see anyone taking it off of them until 2019, which, fair enough, have them have a long reign, but you have to have believable challenges, and right now there just aren't any on Raw, because it's the AOP and then a massive chasm and then the rest of the tag teams. Whereas on SmackDown, even when you had the Bludgeon Brothers, you had that kind of qualifying series where you're just like, yeah, okay, fair. The Usos could beat the Bludgeon Brothers. New Day could feasibly beat the Bludgeon Brothers. Sanity could beat the Bludgeon Brothers.
I'm still
and the same as Cesaro.
Could. Bludgeon Brothers versus Sanity. That's annoying.
Yeah, that would have been so much fun. Killian Dane and Luke Harper just absolutely going at it. That would be so much fun. So yeah, I think Raw's tag division is needing a bit of a pump up. At the same time, if the rumors that Undisputed Era are coming to the end of their tenure in NXT, Adam Cole's being prepped to have the rocket strapped to his ass by Triple H once he gets promoted to the main roster.
And then do you think he'll get lost on Raw, though?
On Raw, yeah. I think Adam Cole belongs on SmackDown. I think he's perfect for SmackDown.
Yeah, and then Vince sees him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Hopefully Vince doesn't watch SmackDown anymore.
I really hope so. I really hope Vince takes a break. God, but yeah, that's the issue. Is if Vince does see Adam Cole, I have no doubt he'll be like, yeah, you're my next champ. I'm going to put you on Raw. And that would be a mistake. That would be a real issue.
So to go from a six-man tag match that is potentially exciting and we're looking forward to a six-woman tag match that I might be looking at through my fingers.
Can we just leave skip Tyler it? I'm sick of the Bellas.
Leave Tyler. Leave Morgan probably doesn't want to get in the ring.
Yeah. That was bad.
At least you've got bad. At least you've got a pee break.
Yeah,
you
true.
Can just watch Ronda's entrance and then go for a pin.
Oh no, the bar's going to be so busy during that match.
The only thing is, though, is Ronda Rousey's in it and you've got to want to see Ronda.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Ronda will be, I have a feeling Ronda will carry the match and have some cool spots with Ruby. But I don't understand why we couldn't have just got Ruby versus Ronda. Because they
had a good match, didn't they?
Phenomenal. Yeah, they're both phenomenal. And they will, I think either Ember or Ruby will be the next challenger for post freaking Nikki Bella and Evolution will be the next challenger for Ronda's
title. Is that confirmed?
I think that's
for
a cool program. I don't think so, but it's just ominous. It's one of those things that's ominously hanging over our heads. Just
if that happens, is it fair that I skip Evolution? I'll just watch the SmackDown one and the NXT one and skip that match.
Yeah. That's fair. I don't think you could be called misogynistic if you skipped the Raw Women's title match because of Nikki Bella. And to be fair, Nikki Bella is not that bad a wrestler. She was good.
Yeah, but she'll
in her heyday.
Win.
Oh, she better not. She takes the title off Ronda. Oh no, she better bloody not. They're basically part timers now. If WWE is serious about this whole new era thing, new era, then they're not gonna let part timers take titles. They can take the spotlight, like Taker and Triple H. That's fine. Because this is a one time thing.
Have you not seen the men's division?
I know. But it's not like Taker and Triple H are anywhere near the title scene. This is very much an abstraction match
Nikki
to sell
Bella
tickets.
Nikki Bella is basically Goldberg.
They have regressed so much, though. They've regressed. It's like the Bellas
seriously
of
regressed.
10 years ago.
Maybe the fact that Nikki's broken up with John means that she doesn't have a mojo anymore. Maybe John was giving her pep talks before every match that made her go out and be brilliant. But now, there's no way this Nikki Bella or Ronda Rousey thing could be anywhere near good just because of what we've seen. In the same way that this six-woman tag team match probably won't be good. And I'm at peace with that.
You just need to limit the crap members of the Riot Squad. So, two-thirds of it.
Sarah Logan. Two-thirds of it.
Two-thirds of it. And then you got to limit the Bella Twins. So pretty much, we just want to see...
Yeah.
We want to see 2 minutes of the crap and then ten minutes of Riot versus Ronda.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
so you're basically saying, four-sixths of this match is useless. Yep. And no one watching it.
You two, just stay on the apron. You two, have a match. You've got 10 minutes and then we're done.
At least Natalia is not in it. It would have... Wait, no, she's not in it. Bree's in it, isn't she? It's not Natalia.
Natalia's better than all of the other ones.
Well, she is, but she's got no charisma. She's actually a charisma vacuum. I've never seen someone suck the life out of a promo more than Natalia. Not since
Bobby.
I don't know. not since Bobby last week. That's not wrong.
Imagine Sarah Logan versus Natalia on a mic.
Oh, now you've made me sad. No, this is supposed to be a good event. This is supposed to be nice and fun.
Let's leave that one behind.
You a pee break. What else do you want?
That's fair.
You're gonna be there for 6 hours. You need to pee.
Let's just hope it's not too horrific. What about Daniel Bryan and The Miz then? Because this had such a long build. The catalogue of how this came together was, I'd say, recent history. I don't think, in a way, I feel it's almost a mistake going too far back, to the original stuff and concentrating so much on that because it became almost obscure in a way. I think the more recent stuff over the past 2 to 3 years has been so good in the natural build for this, but the matches have been so underwhelming for me, and the whole involvement of the wives really took away from what we see in the ring. You know, it's not being misogynistic there, it's just naturally mixed tag matches don't do anything for me, I'm afraid. It's just the dynamic, it doesn't work. But can we see something much better this time between these two?
As long as Maurice, I think we can.
As long as Maurice is, well, Maurice will be at ringside, Brie probably won't if she's in the six woman tag. But the match has been heightened by the stipulation, which is whoever wins goes on to face the WWE champion. And that basically means people will be cheering for Daniel Bryan even more, because there is the chance that we could see Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles or Samoa Joe, although it's going to be AJ Styles, in a program. Or we see The Miz get credit for his incredible last 3 years, and that is just cause as well. And whoever loses this has a genuine gripe to then go back, which I think is where they're coming from, which is why the mixed tag happened, is because I think they're trying to bleed this out to WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised if they're bleeding this out for a title program at WrestleMania, although right now I would suggest AJ could hold that title till 2022 and still make it look phenomenal, no pun intended, and still make it interesting and fun, as long as he had a kind of a long list of contenders. I think
AJ, either way, this match in English, WrestleMania.
Brilliant. Yeah. WrestleMania 43. Yeah, AJ versus one of Goldberg's kids. Goldberg's son, the one that took his shirt off. Why not? He'll be AJ will still be able to go then. He'll be fine. But
What was Braun's partner called at WrestleMania?
Oh yeah, Nicholas.
Nicholas.
He'll be a seasoned veteran by 43. I think they'll be right to go then. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun match, but most of all, it's going to be at least intriguing to see how they approach this, because there's incentive now rather than, like Andy said, they messed up, I think, by implementing the NXT stuff. It wasn't wise to go back that far explicitly. They should have, just mentioned it and should have brought it up in passing in certain promos. And I think it was almost too much harking back to that NXT thing, when I don't think they even thought back then that Daniel Bryan would be. Yeah, exactly. But they didn't think. It's not like that back then they were doing that on purpose. Or that was just The Miz and Daniel Bryan trying to make good of a terrible situation. To their credit, they did. But I think they should have focused more on Miz under Daniel Bryan as a general manager. Obviously, they brought up the Talking Smack promo, best promo in the last 20 years. Not 20 years, but definitely this modern era. And they definitely focused on that well. But I don't think, I'm not despairing at all. I think this feud's got a long way to go. It started out of the blocks well, but it kind of staggered once we had Brie Mode and the other Carmella. And I think, yeah, it could be Daniel Bryan versus AJ, which would be great. Could be Miz versus AJ, which would be awesome. Most of all, I'm excited to see how these two converge again towards the end of the year. I do hope there is a gap, because whoever wins this match then goes on, hopefully for a couple of months, to feud with the champion.
And you, Guy, because, I mean, you'll know Guy from the amount of podcasts we've done together on this. I'm not as enamoured with Miz as most people are. Obviously, acknowledge he is very good on the mic. I'm not a fan of his in-ring work, and I do think it's, I don't know. I tend to have to fast forward through Miz TV because it's just the same show every week.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him, mate.
And I've brilliant. Certainly got no interest in watching that Miz and Miz, Mrs., whatever they call it.
But, yeah, but that means yeah, you're human, so that's fair.
Yeah,
it just... that means you're not a terrible human being.
You're fine with that. For me in this feud, Andy, it's as Alex said, I think it could go either way. I mean, we haven't talked about the WWE title match, but pretty much every other podcast we predicted AJ Styles to lose and think it's time that it needs freshening up. So he's, it's never going to end. But I could see this going either way. And the only worry with me is, for me, is if Miz wins, that's another feud where AJ is in there with someone who's probably a better talker than him. I know Shinsuke wasn't, but he's just a mad charismatic weirdo. So he was kind of running that feud. Joe's running this feud on the mic, and Miz would probably run the feud again. So it'd kind of make AJ not seem bad, but just seem like the weaker of the two before
that's
the match.
A good point.
And that's the only thing. Whereas if it's Brian's probably going to be the stronger face, so I wouldn't mind seeing heel AJ Styles again.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, what I think is I don't really feel that they quite mesh together, AJ and Miz. I know AJ can get a great match out of anyone. I think one-on-one matches, Miz not... I don't know. I think he struggles sometimes to go with some of the best. In triple threat matches...
Matches with Dolph.
Yeah, in triple threat, he did have... Yeah, he did, but... In triple threat matches, he seems to excel for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
He just seems to really excel being able to sort of step out, step back in.
Could we see a stupid finish where it ends in like a double count out and a triple threat match?
I was just going to say, could we have a schmoz here?
Yeah.
And that's how we get the balance of it all. So we don't have straight out babyface versus babyface. And like you say, this whole thing, which I just don't see Miz and AJ's characters and personalities quite meshing right.
Mm.
This whole thing of then putting it together, adding another one in there. Is that a possibility, you think, then maybe in for Royal Rumble? That's what we'd get.
The problem with the triple threat would be AJ would be third wheeling to what is already kind of the established feud. But unless Joe wins and then it's... But oh, I want Joe versus Brian so badly to be Joe versus Brian and just outright, Joe, I'm going to put you back into the ground. I'm going to put you back into hospital.
I'm going to end your career again.
I'm going to end you and I'm going to end everyone who ever thought you were going to do something. And Joe would do that brilliantly.
Thing is, if we have to see Joe v. AJ again, we are 2 weeks away from him choking out his family.
Yeah, absolutely. Poor Wendy is probably gonna have to do
Wendy.
Oh, I've got a call from Triple H. What does this mean? Right, Wendy, we're gonna have some more Joe come choke out you and your children. Is that okay?
Is that all right? Yeah, that's good. Fair play to Wendy. She'd probably be up for it. She's already had her home invaded, so I think she's all in on this feud. But no, I think it's imperative that now whoever wins the WWE title has a program that ignites them with whoever wins this match. And I'm not discounting the triple threat match, but I do think if Joe finally beats AJ, which would be a mad moment. And the other thing that we kind of haven't discussed, or we touched on briefly, is Australian crowds can be mental, and anything that remotely kind of drastic that happens, the Aussie crowd's going to eat it up. Because we're expecting this to be similar to Saudi Arabia, not that dramatic show, just a good fun show. But if Buddy wins the Cruiserweight title, it's gonna go mental. If AJ or kind of Joe or maybe Miz, kind of if Miz wins, I think everyone will kind of be shocked and stunned. If Joe wins, everyone will go mental. It's gonna be one of those things where if they finally do take the belt off AJ, they have to do it well. But any way they do it will basically lead to them.
Maybe
having a moment
Samoa
to remember.
Is the same place as Australia.
Samoa's just off the coast.
Yeah.
It's basically Tasmania. Yeah.
Well, just like Tasmania people losing Samoa. In their hometown, so don't tell them that.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Wonder how good AJ's Australian accent is. Somehow I doubt it's probably worse than Andy's and Guy's.
How dare you? We're talking WWE title match as well. I mean, AJ, Samoa Joe, as guys mentioned there, you know, for a while, I've certainly been saying, look, I think AJ needs to lose this title just to kind of re-energize and get something new on it and get people excited about it again. It's just that thing, isn't it? The babyface chasing down a heel is so much more interesting than a babyface champion that you kind of, in a way, deep down, you know they're not going to lose. You know that they're going to keep the title. And as much as I'd love to see Samoa Joe win the title, because I just think it would be fantastic for absolutely so many reasons. If for every reason possible, I just don't see it happening, Alex, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think you're right. But at the same time, I have really enjoyed this feud between Joe and Styles, because there were a lot of ways it could go. And I think this feud is... I get what you mean with the babyface. Yeah, you're right. The babyface chasing a title is always more interesting. But this, I would say, is one of the better heel chasing a title, because he just continually drops off these levels of psychopath nature that we just keep seeing him grow worse and worse and worse. You cost me my title. I'm coming after your family. I'm going to end your career. Daddy's coming home. This is just not going to end well for you, AJ.
Yeah.
And because I know you, it's just, yeah, I think it's been brilliant, to be honest.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but
no, that's okay.
You notice as well, though, that's Samoa Joe, because that was Samoa Joe with Brock Lesnar. That was Samoa Joe with Roman Reigns. You know, that he was put in there with people who you were expecting him to put up the fight but lose, yet he still made it interesting. He still added something to it. And it's this consistent thing with Samoa Joe, isn't it? There's something that he adds to a feud.
Absolutely. But, and we saw this in NXT, he needs a title to validate his danger. And if he doesn't get the WWE title soon, it's going to threaten to kind of derail all that momentum he's built up. I don't think he needs it. He's not a character that needs a title in the same way that I think Roman needs a title, whether it be US or Universal. But he is a character that is validated by having a championship. And when he wins that championship, it will be supremely good to see how he rolls with it and what he does with it.
Yeah, I like that word, validation. I like that. Yeah, validate. I like it.
Mm.
So that just leaves us with the final match on the card, and I've got to say it's probably a good job that there's no that it is open air and that we're not in a closed arena, because if Triple H and Undertaker have to go some distance, they could suck all the oxygen out of the building.
You're not wrong, and I think the entrances are going to be now. There's a reason the show is 5 hours, and that's because these two are going to have to make entrances longer than most of the other matches.
I was a long time. I remember Undertaker's debut. I watched that. Big fan of him for years and years and years. His character changes, that, you know, the tweaks here and there, and the little things that he's added and embellished along the way. And he's got a great catalogue and one of the all time great careers. But the last couple of years have not been fun to watch. And just unfortunately for me, that the whole thing surrounding this, I'm just not quite sure what to make. Yeah, I'm just not quite sure what to make of this match, whether I'm looking forward to it or I'm not.
I think the build has been better than it had any right to be. When it got announced, I was very skeptical, because you're exactly right. The mystique around The Undertaker has disappeared for me. I remember watching WrestleMania this year, and I was more excited to see John Cena than I was The Undertaker. And I'd seen John Cena for months beforehand, but John Cena was the more interesting, and I think still is, the more interesting character. WrestleMania, I was actively rooting for Roman Reigns to retire The Undertaker, because I thought it was time and it would be perfect. And the night after WrestleMania, when Roman was in that ring and he just said those words, "I'm the big dog now," and got booed to all hell, that was the perfect way for me to see The Undertaker go, a man who was been a huge part of my childhood and who I loved watching. And yet, the fact that they had Shawn and Taker have that promo, the fact that Triple H is a master of building things up, the fact that Kane is now involved, that we are seeing this for one last time, I can't help but just go, okay, this is going to be awesome. It's not going to be a brilliant match, because neither of them can go anymore the way they used to, but it is going to be awesome as a spectacle.
Yeah, they've spiked Guy's interest, though, haven't they? The addition of Kane.
Mayor Kane. Mr. Mayor. Yes.
The big red mayor.
If he comes out with, like, a T-shirt saying Kane for mayor, it'll do me.
With the mask on as well, though.
Yes,
still in full character. With a T-shirt over the top of his full body suit. That'd be class.
Oh, But I'm quite looking forward to this. I think Triple H is probably in better nick than The Undertaker, because, well, we've not had to
half his Triple body, H is in better body. Nick than most people on walking.
Yeah, in the world. He's in better nick than
that's
me.
Probably because he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning to turn on Brie mode.
Jesus. Yeah, look, his fitness regime is just mind-boggling. And he's got that... He's, like, one of the people, most of all, who I've never seen... And, like, I can't imagine him without colossal muscles. Like, most people, you're just like, yeah, okay, I can imagine you being skinny when you were younger. I imagine you being maybe you losing a bit of muscle tone. But I can't imagine any reality, any timeline where Triple H isn't absolutely buff.
The biggest change ever in Triple H is when he shaved off his long hair and everyone was like, no, that's disgusting. Get away.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And it's just like, whoa, okay, that's a significant change. And he's made it work. The one thing that I will say, and I'm loving this match, just because it's this match, but if Shawn comes back for a tag match against Kane and The Undertaker, I will boycott it. Well, I won't boycott it, but no. I will hate it. Because it's just, you can't tarnish that retirement match, that amazing storyline. The fact that Shawn is still here and he wants to wrestle so badly, but he can't because he made a pact that he would never wrestle again. You can't tarnish Ric Flair. You can't tarnish Triple H. You can't tarnish Taker all at once by just because a Saudi prince wanted him to wrestle. And that would kill me inside because that is one of the defining points of my wrestling kind of not just childhood, but my wrestling kind of adult life.
You can't do it for the haircut anyway. You can't do it for the haircut, because the haircut can't hide the baldness anymore.
That's true. Hey, when he was getting chokeslammed on Raw, I did not realise how bald he was. I really didn't. It surprised me. It really surprised me.
The only match Shawn could ever do again is Taker, and I don't really ever want to see that again.
No. Nah, because you know it'll just ruin the
previous
one.
It'll ruin the other two matches, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there comes a point where it's like, no, look, you've done everything. You've done it. You've done it again. You've even done it more times than that. Just stop. Leave us with our memories.
Just enough. And we don't need it, because no matter what people say, the fact that we've got the Shield, the fact that Braun is still a megastar, you're still milking Brock despite the fact he shouldn't be anywhere near this product. And I could go on a rant about Brock Lesnar for a week, but and it's a good thing he's not coming to Australia, because I don't think he'd get an altogether nice reaction.
He cares, to be honest.
True, yeah. Probably true. But the fact that you've still got Brock and you've still got kind of that aura around the Shield and you've got Cena if you need him, you don't need to bring Shawn back and ruin the greatest match in your company's history. You can't. You can't do that. But watch them, because Saudis are giving them lots of money. And it's not... Yeah.
I've lost this bag of money again.
I need a new bag of money.
Here's another potato sack full of 50s.
Yeah. That's just... Yeah.
That scene from DuckTales, is it? Where...
We need someone to put Vince's face on that.
We absolutely
do. There you
do.
Go, calling all help. Please do this.
Oh, that's too true. And I'm very much an advocate for once Hunter gets the reins, this stuff probably will disappear. It won't be eradicated completely, but once Hunter gets the reins, I think we're going to see WWE go in a direction that is more progressive and more... And overall, better for me.
Yeah, I think it's the way I watch it.
Definitely
on
screen. The in-ring product, it'll go up tenfold.
But even storylines will be simpler and will actually have logic. If you look at Gargano and Ciampa, that screams Triple H, because it's a long build. He's plotted out moments during the year of what he wants. He's adapted to injuries. Because the biggest thing with NXT is the fact that it's constantly chopping and changing. And if someone can write stories despite their main characters constantly leaving them, whether it be injuries or be the fact that they've gone up to the main roster, then you know how to write a story. And for me, it's imperative that Vince hands over the creative reins as he has been doing, and credit to him, more and more over the next couple of years. And hopefully that means that I get to see WWE come back again and do another show at the MCG in a couple of years with hopefully, I don't know, Dean Ambrose's champ or something like that. That'd be nice. Definitely. That'd be class.
You just want Tony Storm back, don't you?
Oh, I really do. I'm so shattered she's not coming down. She's the best thing ever. She's my favorite, probably my favorite women's wrestler on the planet right now. She's just incredible. She's also gorgeous and Australian. And that's two of the best things you can be.
And speaking of coming back, obviously this event is happening Saturday, depending on which part of the globe you're at. Saturday morning, Saturday lunchtime-ish, all the way through to Saturday night. But next week, Alex, you come back, tell us what it was like. Not just, obviously, there's our perspective of watching it on screen, but for you, you know, also not just seeing the action, but being there, being a part of it.
You can guarantee that. I'll be back with my report card, with my voice still probably recovering from all the shouting and clapping I'm doing, and I'll definitely be back on. I enjoyed today. So thanks for having me on, gents.
It was our pleasure. One more Ripper guy.
Oh, for God's sake. You little Ripper.
Yes.
There you go. What a way to end a Ripper of a show.
Absolute Ripper of a show indeed.
Next week, Guy does the Australian accent throughout the whole show.
So I thought Roman Reigns was good. Showdown Guy, he was a Ripper.
He was alright.
If Buddy Murphy wins the Cruiserweight title, you are doing the entire introduction to next week's show in an Aussie accent, and I'm not taking no for an answer.
Oh God.
Okay. Let's see
if
what
Cedric
happens.
Wins, do you have to do like Northern England?
I don't know. I could maybe do a Scouse. I'm not sure I could do. Oh, maybe I could do Northern. But we'll have to see next week.
You have to figure out how to do a Geordie accent.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a week to practice.
I've got a week to practice my YIs.
So there you go. What a way to end the show, guys. Like you said, thanks to Alex Barilaro. Thanks, as always, to my audio tag team partner, Guy Drinkle. And like you said, you know, we will be back next week to run down the card, and Alex can tell you all about what it was like just to be there, that atmosphere and experience what is a real showpiece event. So until then, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.